The White House has given a qualified response to the House Judiciary Committee's subpoena for presidential tapes. I'm Stephanie Shelton, sitting in for Jim Kilpatrick on the CBS Radio Network. Presidential spokesman Ronald Ziegler indicated Thursday that the White House feels it was unnecessary for the committee to issue a subpoena for the material. Ziegler said that at the end of the Easter congressional recess, the White House will give the committee what he calls a comprehensive and conclusive answer.
We will be providing additional facts and materials. This should not be a question of the number of tapes or gamesmanship. It should be a question of facts provided to the committee so that they can complete their work and complete it promptly. We have to go through the process of compiling material and reviewing material now that we have received from the committee staff just a few days ago the specifics as to what they wanted in terms of materials and facts from the White House. We're doing that, and we will provide them those facts as we pull them together.
Ziegler said he feels the president's answer will be supported by the full House. He did not say if the president will provide everything demanded by the subpoena, which gives the White House until April 25th to respond. Frank DeMarco, the tax attorney who prepared President Nixon's tax returns, says he doesn't know whether the special prosecutor will investigate his work. DeMarco says he hasn't been contacted by anyone other than the Internal Revenue Service. On Thursday, Attorney General William Saxby said he has authorized the special prosecutors to go ahead with tax investigations involving DeMarco. Patricia Hearst's fiancé speaks out. Details in a moment.
Even if someone served them a slice of beef, they couldn't bite into it. Their teeth are too weak. I'm not talking about some people over in Africa or Asia. I'm talking about Americans, American children. It's tragic how many thousands of them are in this country whose teeth will literally rot in their mouths because they'll never receive basic dental care. They may not even own a toothbrush. What hurts is that it takes so very little for any one of us to help them. The same dollar, for instance, that buys you two packs of cigarettes can buy three American children the first toothbrushes they've ever owned. I'm Cliff Robertson. Won't you give up some cigarettes so some American children can have their first toothbrush? Send your dollar to Americans for Children's Relief, Box 5050, Stamford, Connecticut. Box 5050, Stamford, Connecticut. $1. And, of course, if you can afford more, give more.
Stephen Weed, the fiancé of kidnapped Patricia Hearst, says he fears that if she isn't already dead, she's being set up for death in some cruel way by the Symbionese Liberation Army. In an interview on a San Francisco television station Thursday, Weed suggested that the SLA might kill her or set up some confrontation with the FBI to get her killed. And Weed said he's been working on a plan that would allow the SLA to take Patricia to a foreign country and release her there. Last week, the kidnapped girl said in a tape-recorded message that she was joining the SLA voluntarily. The Senate passed campaign reform legislation Friday, which would closely regulate the amount of money candidates for federal office may receive and spend. The measure includes a provision allowing serious candidates to finance their campaigns with federal tax funds. Massachusetts Democrat Edward Kennedy had praise for the Senate's work.
I feel that the legislation which we have passed has been the most effective reform in campaign financing in the history of the country, and one of the most important reforms to ensure the integrity of the election process of this nation. I'm hopeful, with the strong vote that we've received, that we'll get to corresponding action by the House of Representatives.
Observers say the measure, which was hotly contested in the Senate, stands virtually no chance of passage in the House. Former United Mine Workers President W.A. Tony Boyle was found guilty of murder Thursday in the deaths of Union insurgent Jock Yablonski and his wife and daughter. His lawyers will probably appeal. More CBS News after this message.
On April 2nd, New Times reporter Johnny Green closed the book on the life he used to lead and opened the door to the cult of the odd couples. From the teasing touch dance through the costume clamor of the men and women for whom opposites don't always attract, New Times magazine takes you behind the scenes through some of New York's most popular bisexual bistros. Then on page 28, you'll meet Dr. Frederick LeBoyer, the father of the science of psycho-obstetrics. In this article, he explains how the shock of childbirth, as we know it, can leave the newborn with permanent psychological scars and how his revolutionary trauma-free, gentle childbirth promises to populate the world with happier, healthier babies. And with April 15th just around the bend, New Times offers up its hilarious tax tips, plus special insider reports on William O. Douglas, possibly the next Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. All this and more in the new issue of New Times, the feature news magazine on your newsstand now. New Times.
A word now for all those women who still have their marbles. The World Marbles Board of Control in London has decided to allow women to play in the annual Good Friday competition at Tinsley Green. But the board stipulated that women marble players must be suitably dressed. Women were banned from the contest after a 1972 incident in which a girl wearing a micro miniskirt bent over, revealing to the shocked Britishers the word knickers printed on the seat of her underpants. Stephanie Shelton, CBS News.
In 97 news headlines, a teacher's strike in the state's fourth largest school district has been averted. Teachers in the Beaverton School District voted this evening to accept a contract agreement reached with the school board earlier today. Two candidates for the Democratic nomination for governor said today the state should get into the geothermal energy business. Three persons died this afternoon when their twin-engine plane crashed in Ladd Canyon, 7 miles south of La Grande. Oregon Governor Tom McCall says the firing of state election supervisor Jack Thompson could have an effect on this year's race for governor. A lobbyist for the Associated General Contractors, Jack Kalinowski, has withdrawn his candidacy for the House of Representatives from District 9. The weather forecast for Portland, Vancouver. Few brief showers and partial clearing tonight. Partly cloudy Friday, fair Friday night and Saturday. The low tonight in the mid-30s, Friday in the low 30s, the highs both days in the mid-60s. The present temperature, 46 degrees. That's KOIN News at 10:07. I'm Bill Garrity.
KOIN. 10 o'clock at KOIN in Portland.
CBS News, the mother of a man and a movement that has shaped the destiny of millions for our time and all time. The words tonight in Atlanta referring to the slain mother of Dr. Martin Luther King. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Memorial services were held Tuesday night for Mrs. Martin Luther King, Sr. She was shot to death Sunday as she played the organ during church services in Atlanta. Police have charged a black man from Dayton, Ohio, Marcus Wayne Chenault, with killing Mrs. King and a church deacon and wounding another woman during services at the Ebenezer Baptist Church. More after this. Of that power, its role as public watchdog, and the public anger at its bite, how the press has treated the president, and how the president has handled the press.
Religion, a study of the new counter-reformation in U.S. Catholicism today. Who's leading it? What's behind it? Why the traditionalists want to return to the old liturgy, piety, and certainty?
Books, a collation of 10 book reviews, samplings for the summer reader.
These are just three of the 53 news stories in the current issue of Time.
Reports that help you view the world's week.
For Time takes you to Germany for a novel look at the World Cup competition, as author Anthony Burgess explains the crudities and subtleties of soccer.
To Washington for a mid-year report on the important rulings of the Supreme Court.
To Herbie Hancock, wherever he's at, for a session with the big name in jazz rock.
It's all in Time this week.
Pick up a copy today.
For Time makes everything more interesting, including you. A family of seven shipwrecked in the Gulf of Mexico clutched to a life preserver for 12 hours Tuesday, but lost two children in the struggle. The Edward Horn family from Houston, Texas, was sailing in their yacht when a freak storm hit the boat early Tuesday morning. The Coast Guard located the survivors Tuesday afternoon and brought them to a Florida hospital. The father, Edward Horn, describes the ordeal.
We hung on to the life ring, all seven of us, tied together with rope, praying all night until about noon. And we had no idea the sharks were all around us until just as the plane spotted us, one of the sharks killed one, my next youngest son.
Edward Horn. The youngest son, Edward Jr., apparently died from drowning. Network radio and television news correspondents hit a snag Tuesday when they attempted to report dissident activity within the Soviet Union.
The Russians simply pulled the plug when reporters from ABC, CBS, and NBC attempted to transmit their stories to New York. CBS News correspondent Dan Rather reviews what happened.
The Soviet State Committee for Radio and Television informed the three networks through a pool representative during the afternoon that they might not be able to control their technicians in putting material on the air if the networks continued to broadcast the United States what was called, I think this is a direct quote, anti-Soviet material. It was clear that what they meant was material concerning dissidents of any kind, Jewish or otherwise. The network pool representative informed the White House, News Secretary Ronald Ziegler. There was no reaction at that stage. It was set by White House spokesman to be a matter strictly between the network and the Soviet State Committee. This evening, when attempts were made to relay television broadcasts out of Moscow via the satellite, in each instance with NBC, CBS, and ABC, any time there was a report concerning dissidents, the plug was pulled. It was as simple as that.
CBS News correspondent Dan Rather in Moscow. There are final ceremonies Wednesday morning. Then Mr. Nixon flies to Maine, where he will make a nationwide radio and television address at about 7:30 Wednesday evening Eastern Time. Mr. Nixon will then go to his Key Biscayne, Florida retreat for a long weekend. More after this.
Time Magazine.
What's in it for you this week?
Cover story. A portrait of the press in America today. Its power to probe and the use of that power. Its role as public watchdog and the public anger at its bite. How the press has treated the president and how the president has handled the press.
Religion. A study of the new counter-reformation in U.S. Catholicism today. Who's leading it? What's behind it? Why the traditionalists want to return to the old liturgy, piety, and certainty.
Books, a collation of 10 book reviews, samplings for the summer reader.
These are just three of the 53 news stories in the current issue of Time.
Reports that help you view the world's week.
For Time takes you to Germany for a novel look at the World Cup competition, as author Anthony Burgess explains the crudities and subtleties of soccer.
To Washington for a mid-year report on the important rulings of the Supreme Court.
To Herbie Hancock, wherever he's at, for a session with the big name in jazz rock.
It's all in Time this week.
Pick up a copy today.
For Time makes everything more interesting, including you.
Gloomy news over the economy sent the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 15.5 points Tuesday on the New York Stock Exchange. The Dow closed just above 790, which was the lowest close since last December. The American Automobile Association says 4th of July weekend travelers will have relatively little trouble finding gasoline, and it says more gasoline stations will be open after 6 p.m. Former Chief Justice Earl Warren is in a Washington hospital suffering from a heart ailment. Warren's condition is described as fair. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
Now, children, I want a volunteer to stay after school and clean all the blackboards. Johnny, you do that for me.
All right, I need three volunteers for a dangerous mission. That'll be you, you, and you.
Since time immemorial, volunteers have not always been very voluntary. One reason may be that the missions involved haven't seemed very satisfying to the volunteer, but the American Red Cross is changing that. How would you feel about seeing handicapped children learning to swim and knowing that you volunteered to help them?
Dr. Scott, emergency room.
How would you feel about seeing hospitalized veterans learning new skills that take away their boredom and knowing that you volunteered to teach them? How would you feel about knowing that a new mother is giving her first baby the right kind of child care and knowing that you volunteered to show her? If being that kind of volunteer sounds satisfying to you, then call your local chapter of the American Red Cross. Make it your own choice to be a good neighbor.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... In. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to our world of mystery and the macabre, of unbearable suspense. Sit back and lend us your imagination for a while.
We'll do some remarkable things with it. Imagine, for instance, an elderly woman, Belle Richwood, alone and forgotten, except for her nephew Charles, her only living relative, and the only human being she ever sees. Until one lonely night.
You're back. I can't believe it. I've had just about enough of this. You people simply have to stop coming into my apartment. This just isn't right. I'm entitled to my privacy. Will you answer me when I speak to you? Now, get out of here and leave me alone. We won't have it. I'm going to tell Charles. He has to do something about this. Oh.
Hello?
Oh, Charles.
Hello, Aunt Belle.
Look, will you get over here and get these people out?
Who, Aunt Belle?
That man who was here last week. And this time he has a friend. A lady friend, no less. I'm frightened, Charles.
You mean that guy is back?
He certainly is. With this strange woman. Oh, hurry, Charles. Please.
Our mystery drama, Strange Company, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Bob Juren and stars Bryna Rayburn. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
It took me 20 years to get what I've got today. Nice house, a couple of comfortable, good-looking cars. Then along came all the concern about miles per gallon. They say one of my cars ought to be a small car. I say, okay, show me a small car that's good enough to make a big car guy like me happy. They say, look at a Buick. I say, go on, Buick doesn't even make small cars. Look at the Apollo, they say. So I looked. Buick does make a small car. But this one's got some room and comfort. And something else. A six-cylinder engine and a standard 21-gallon gas tank. Put those together and you've got range. Well, that's just as important to me as miles per gallon. So I consider everything about the car, the economy, naturally. But also how nice it was inside and how smooth it was. And I bought the Apollo. There's nothing wrong with a small car. As long as it's a Buick. Apollo. The Buick of small cars.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems?
It's July clearance time at Jansen Beach Center with really great buys in every store. Clearance prices throughout the center. There are good buys, shopping convenience, and old-fashioned fun, too. A great carnival on the parking lot now through Sunday. A gigantic fireworks display the evening of July 3rd and 4th. All this plus... plus the shopping comfort of air-conditioned malls. Do it now. Shop the July clearance sale at Jansen Beach Center and be sure and pick up your $5 ride for $1 coupons at any store. Jansen Beach Center, I-5 at Jansen Beach.
Hi, I'm Steve Prefontaine, and this is Sharon, a friend of mine. We're concerned about venereal disease. It will affect 50,000 Oregonians this year.
More than half of those getting VD will be women, and most of them won't show any symptoms. So it's important to get a VD test at your next regular checkup or a free and confidential test at your county health department to know for sure.
50,000 Oregonians. VD.
As we grow older, very often our fears darken, our anxieties deepen. And our thoughts indulge in some strange tricks. Belle Richwood and her sister Julia lived their whole lives together, almost recluses, until the neighborhood around them deteriorated to the point where their nephew Charles was forced to move them from the city to a peaceful apartment in the country. But for Belle and Julia, there was to be no peace.
Hello?
Charles, it's about time you answered.
What's the matter now, Aunt Belle?
Julia's fallen again. Can you get right over?
All right, Aunt Belle. Now cover her up. I'll be right there.
Oh, for heaven's sake, hurry up. She's not moving this time. I think she's unconscious.
Julia's fallen again.
Third time this week.
Charles, Julia simply has got to go to a nursing home. Whether Belle likes it or not, she can't take care of Julia anymore, and we can't go on like this.
I know, Linda, I know. What are we going to use for money? All they've got is their Social Security. And I'm so deep in hock myself, I can't pay for a nursing home.
Well, I'm sick of you running over there at all hours to pick Julia off the floor. Or get her out of a bathtub. She's too old to be getting into a tub anyway.
I'm fed up, too.
I don't see why you bothered with them after your mother died.
I'm their only blood relative. I had to get involved.
Well, go pick Julia off the floor. And hurry back. Dinner's almost ready.
Oh, well, you took your time.
Where is she?
In the bedroom. Hurry. Oh, can you get her up?
No, Aunt Belle. Julia's dead.
No, Charles, she's just unconscious.
No, Aunt Belle, she's gone.
No, I can't believe it.
The fall was just too much for her.
Not my Julie. She can't be. No, Julia, dear, wake up, Aunt Belle.
Please. I'll have to make some phone calls first. I'll take you back to our place.
No, I can't leave Julia.
But they'll be taking her away in a little while. You'll be better off at home with Linda.
It was all because we moved to this apartment. We should have stayed in the city.
Aunt Belle, we've been through all this. I moved you out of the city because you were mugged twice in your own elevator.
This place isn't any better. Julia always hated this apartment. I think it hates us. It's evil. And Julia's gone. What am I going to do?
No, you've got to think about yourself.
Myself? I haven't thought about myself for 60 years. It's always been Julia.
But you won't have to worry about her anymore.
What do you mean, Charles? I'm more worried about her. More than ever.
Time to leave, Aunt Belle.
Oh, couldn't I stay with her a little while longer? She looks just as though she's asleep.
A few minutes more. We'll wait in the lobby.
Oh. Julia, dear, do you want to wake up now?
Aunt Belle.
It's all right, Linda.
Perhaps you're better off sleeping, dear. I'll have a nice snack ready for you when you wake.
Come on, Linda.
But Charles...
Grandma, I said come on.
She shouldn't be alone in there. She doesn't believe Julia's dead.
Yes, she does.
But you heard her say...
Belle's been a sister to Julia for 60 years. And a mother for 10. It'll take her time to get over Julia's death.
It gives me the chills.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, I suppose we'd better go now. You'll have to be getting back to work.
I'm not working today, Aunt Belle. I got the day off. You're coming back to the house with us.
Charles, I have to settle with you about the funeral expense. I'll take care of them, of course.
Plenty of time for that later. I want you to watch your head.
Oh, thank you, Charles. Yes, I'm in.
Well, Linda, would you want her any more rational than that?
I suppose not. What a relief.
You didn't have to see me in, Charles. I'll be all right.
Don't be silly, Aunt Belle.
And thanks for having me to dinner. You were right. I wouldn't have wanted to be alone today.
I hate leaving you now, but...
Oh, I'll be all right. I have to get used to it.
I'll stop in tomorrow night after work.
Yes, do. And I'll give you the money for the expenses. Do you know how much they are?
Well, that can wait, Aunt Belle. In fact, I didn't think you'd be able to cover it. I was planning to take out a loan.
Oh, nonsense. I have it, and I'll pay it.
Well, it's $1,500.
All right. I'll have it counted out for you tomorrow.
You mean you have that much in cash here? I don't think that's a wise thing to do.
Oh, Nonsense. I've always had cash on hand.
Well, that's up to you. You'll be all right tonight?
Don't worry about me. Come by tomorrow.
Now lock the door behind me.
I always do.
Good night, Aunt Belle.
Good night, Charles. I wonder if there's any ginger ale in the refrigerator. Oh, that reminds me. I wanted to tell Charles. Charles! Oh, he's gone. Hello, Linda. Yes, I'm all right. Oh, Linda, Charles just left, and I wanted to tell him something. Would you please have him call when he gets in? Yes. Thank you. I may as well start. Oh, you. How did you get in here? Answer me. What do you want? I order you to leave my apartment. Why don't you say something? Stop sitting there smiling. How dare you just come in and sit on my furniture? Tell me what you want if you don't. I'll get you out of here. I'm calling my nephew. Oh, dear, I remember he isn't home. Please. Please, what do you want? Why won't you answer me? I'll give you whatever you want of you. Please leave. Please. Oh, thank God, Charles.
I just got in and Linda said you wanted to see.
Oh, Charles. Charles, there's a strange man in my apartment.
What?
He's sitting on the sofa. He won't say anything and he won't leave.
Did he threaten you?
No, he isn't doing anything, but he won't go.
I'll be right there. Now, don't do anything to antagonize him.
Aunt Belle!
Oh, Charles. Charles, thank you for coming.
Where is he?
Oh, he's gone.
Oh, thank God for that. I called the police. But how did he get in? Tell me what happened.
I don't know. I put the chain on the door after you. Then I called Linda, and when I turned around, there he was.
He must have been in the apartment when we arrived. In the bedroom or the bathroom, maybe.
He must have been. I certainly didn't let him in, but... Oh, he left in a hurry when he heard me talking to you.
I'll check the rest of the apartment just to be sure.
No, I'm more mad than scared. The nerve of him just sitting there smiling, not saying a word.
I'll get it.
Mr. Gordon?
Oh, yes, come in, officer.
You reported a prowler?
Yes, this is my aunt, Miss Richwood.
Just a few questions. You say he was here in the apartment?
Yes, sitting... Right on that sofa.
I think he was hiding here when we came in, officer. We had just got back from the funeral of Miss Richwood's sister.
What time was that?
About 9.
And you didn't see him then?
No.
Tell me, Miss Richwood, what did he do or say? Did he threaten you?
No, he wouldn't say a word. He just sat there smiling.
Oh. And... When did he leave?
Well, when my nephew called, that must have scared him off. Because when I turned back, he was gone.
All right, Miss Richwood. We're searching the rest of the building. We'll put out a bulletin on him. We'll call you if we find a suspect. We'll need an identification.
Yes, of course.
Good night now.
Good night, officer, and thank you. Aunt Belle, now you've got to come home with me. You can't stay here alone tonight.
Why? I have to stay here, Charles. I don't dare leave the apartment. Not if someone's getting in.
But then I'll have to stay with you.
Oh, no, you don't. No, I'll be all right. Now that we know there's no one here...
Well, I hate...
I'll lock the door. No one will get in. And with the police around, I feel doubly safe.
Okay, Aunt Belle. But I'll call you when I get home, and I'll be in after work tomorrow.
Oh, yes. Do come by, Charles. I'll have the money for you, for Julia's funeral.
Aunt Belle, your money, could this guy have taken it?
Oh, I don't know. He didn't seem to. Oh, dear.
Where'd you have it?
Oh, in the bedroom. I always thought this was the safest. Oh, thank heaven. Now it's here.
You're sure? All of it?
Well, the suitcase is here. He couldn't have known. Oh, yes, yes. There's no money missing.
Good grief.
Oh, it's all there. No, I'm not worried, Charles. That man won't be back.
But Aunt Belle, all that money...
Oh, don't worry, Charles. I'm going to hide my money in a different place, just in case.
Charles, it's time Belle went into a nursing home, or at least a home for the aging. That man last week could have killed her. She shouldn't be living alone.
She's doing all right.
She is doing all right. And what about us? I'm sick of sharing you with them. Or her now. For 2 years, you've been nursemaid to Belle and Julia.
Linda, it had to be that way.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of everything. And if you won't put her in a nursing home, I'll leave you, Charlie.
No, you won't.
You just see.
Belle's not going to a nursing home, Linda. Those homes cost money.
The state takes care of old people who don't have money.
But Belle has money, Linda. Lots of it.
What do you mean, lots of it?
A suitcase so full of hundreds she can hardly close it. I saw it that night the man got in. She opened it in front of my eyes and counted out the 1,500 for the undertaker.
So great, she's got some money. She can afford a nursing home.
Oh, no, Linda, I'm not going to see that money go into a nursing home. That money is going to be ours.
You mean we're in her will?
She hasn't got a will, but she's got a suitcase full of money. And I'm her only next of kin.
So? What good is it to you?
I'm the only one who knows it's there. When she dies, Linda, that money is ours. The way I feel now, every cent she spends is coming out of my pocket.
But she might live for years.
She might. And that's why I want to keep her in her nice little cheap apartment. She doesn't spend more than $15 a week for food. We're going to be extra nice to Aunt Belle, Linda. After all, we're protecting an investment.
You're back. I can't believe it. I've had just about enough of this. You people simply have to stop coming into my apartment. Get out of here and leave us alone. Well, we won't have it. I'm going to tell Charles he has to do something about this.
Hello?
Oh, Charles.
Hello, Aunt Belle.
Will you get over here and get these people out?
Who, Aunt Belle?
That man who was here last week. And this time he has a friend. A lady friend, no less.
Aunt Belle, you mean that guy is back?
He certainly is, and with a strange woman.
I'll be right over.
Oh, please do. They're upsetting Julia terribly. I think she's afraid of them.
Julia? Aunt Belle, Julia is dead. She can't be there.
Strange company indeed. That suspicious man is back, and with a lady friend. An accomplice, no doubt. It's not easy being alone and old and rich. But Julia, that sort of thing doesn't happen. Belle must be imagining things. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Never heard of beer on the rocks? No? Swell. The people who brew Budweiser never have thought ice in your beer was such a cool idea anyway. If you only knew how ice cuts down the head and waters the taste. Oh, a chilling thought. A downright tragedy with Budweiser especially. Budweiser is the king of beers. The only beer in America that's beechwood aged. Naturally carbonated. Which means Bud brews its own bubbles. Tiny ones over a dense lattice of beechwood strips. The beer ages the best way, the right way, naturally. But add an ice cube and bloop, there goes all that extra effort. So if you forget to cool enough Bud, skip the cubes and put your Budweiser on ice for a while, on the coldest shelf in your refrigerator. Even if the wait does frost you a little, it'll be worth it. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
good men. Men who want to learn good jobs. And today, a qualified man can choose the direction he wants to go in the Marine Corps. Choose the kind of skills he wants to learn. Like computers, aircraft maintenance, or electronics, radio communications, food services, aviation technology. You name it, Marines do it. If you want to learn it, the Marines will teach you skills, responsibility, and leadership in any field you can handle. Remember, qualified men can choose their own directions in the Marine Corps. Skills to learn, careers to build in many directions. The Marines are looking for a few good men who want to choose their own directions, want to learn good jobs, want to be Marines.
Return to the apartment of Belle Richwood, where, so she says, her late sister has spent the day, along with some other questionable companions. Her nephew Charles is with her now, and it seems as though the visitors have left.
Belle, look. There's no one in this chair.
I know. They're not here now.
And this is where you saw Julia, in this chair?
Yes. Yes, and I'm so worried. Where can she be?
Aunt Belle, you know Julia passed away. Julia is dead.
Yes, I know. I feel so terrible about Julia. Do you think we should call the police?
No, yes. They couldn't help.
But they could look for her. I remember one time in the city she wandered away.
Aunt Belle, stop it.
What? Charles.
We cannot look for Julia because Julia is dead.
I know. Julia's dead.
Then stop saying you saw her in the apartment.
It's all right, Charles. I won't mention Julia again. But I do wish you'd do something about the other two.
The other two?
I told you before. The man who comes in here, and now the woman.
Oh, yes, those...
I simply don't understand how they're getting in.
Doesn't it stand to reason that you're imagining there's a man and woman here?
Charles, I know real people when I see them.
Have you ever touched them?
Oh, heavens, no.
But that might convince you.
Oh, why should I have to touch them? I know they're here.
But they never speak, isn't that right?
Oh, yes, that's true. They don't talk.
Aunt Belle, I don't know who or what they are, but there's nothing I can do about them.
Well, I can. The next time they show up, I'm calling the police.
No, I wouldn't do that, Aunt Belle. You couldn't tell them any more than you already have.
Well, they can certainly put a stop to strange people in my apartment. And another thing, I'm going to find another place to hide my money.
Well, that is a good idea.
Charles, come closer. They might be listening. Now, I want you to know where my money is, just in case. I'm going to hide that suitcase. You know, the one you saw it.
Yes.
I'm going to hide that behind the refrigerator.
Good idea.
But where should I hide the other one?
Two suitcases full of money?
And who knows if that's even all? You see why I want to keep things just as they are?
But surely, that man that's getting in with all that money there...
There is no man, or Julia either. She's imagining that Julia is back, and she imagines she sees those people too. They aren't there. Oh, it's just one of those things that comes with age. Hardening of the arteries or something like that. It does things to the brain.
But if they're so real to her...
Yes, they are real to her. And all that money is real to me. All ours when Belle...
dies?
Yes.
As long as no one else knows the money's there.
No one does.
Then you'd better make sure she doesn't talk to anyone.
I don't. I'm the only person she ever sees.
She wanted to call the police about Julia.
Don't worry. I see her every night now. I'll keep her under control. Hi, Aunt Belle.
Oh, Charles, I'm so glad you came by tonight. I know how those people are getting in.
You do?
Yes, through here. They're coming right through this door.
Aunt Belle, that's a closet. It's the clothes closet.
Oh, that explains where they live, then. They always come through this door. In fact, that woman came in today, and nice as you please, she picked up my coat and put it on. I could have smacked her face.
Maybe you should have, Aunt Belle.
Well, I couldn't bring myself to do that.
But you would have found out that woman doesn't exist. She's just in your imagination.
Oh, yes? Well, I'm not imagining missing $100.
What?
I had the rent money all counted out. It was in an envelope on the kitchen table, and now it's gone. I reported it to the police.
Aunt Belle, you didn't.
Well, of course. Why shouldn't I?
Because you probably misplaced the money and think it's gone. What did the police say?
Well, that nice young officer who came the other time said they'd send out a search for that woman. She's the one. I know.
Belle, I don't think you ought to keep so much money around.
Well, I had thought of putting it in the bank.
I was thinking, maybe you ought to let me take care of it for you. I mean, with one case behind the refrigerator.
Shh, they'll hear you. Don't let them know where it is.
Oh. Yes, you're right, Aunt Belle.
Is anybody watching? Now?
No.
Oh. Good. Oh, come on. We're going to move the suitcases. Now, you get the one behind the refrigerator. Now get the one under the sink.
How did you ever get it back here? I can hardly... There it is.
I'm simply going to put them in the bathroom and keep an eye on them. They say if you really want to hide something, keep it out in the open where no one would think of looking for it.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Well, come on. Bring that case in here to the bathroom.
Right away, Aunt Belle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she won't miss it.
Charles! Charles, bring the case in here.
Okay, Aunt Belle, I'm coming. There you are.
Oh, put it there in the tub next to the other one. No one's going to look for my money there. Now, how about a nice glass of wine?
Good boy, Charlie. Now you're using your head.
She'll never miss it. But if she does, we know who to blame it on.
A bunch of people who don't even exist.
The only thing that worries me...
What?
They exist for her. They're real to her.
Well, so what? She count her money every day?
She probably will now.
Like you said, Charlie, you're her next of kin. The money's ours anyway when she dies. We're just taking a little advance. I ordered that bracelet I've been wanting at Wilson's Jewelers.
But if she finds any more missing... She might go to the police.
Well, then, why don't you get there before she does?
Oh, hello, Miss Richwood.
Oh, Mr. Getter, I'm sorry to bother you.
That's what superintendents are for, Miss Richwood. And you don't bother me a tenth as much as some of the other people in this building.
Mr. Geller, I wonder if you'd mind coming upstairs and getting rid of those people. I can't seem to make them leave this time.
People? What people?
Why, all those people in my apartment.
Well, sure. I'll throw them out. Come on.
I really hate to bother you, but my nephew's at work and... I'm afraid to call the police again.
I don't want strange people in my building. Much less in one of the apartments. Don't worry. I'll get them out.
Oh. What? Where did they all go?
You're sure there were people here, Miss Richwood?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm not crazy yet. There was that man and woman who always come in and... And two little girls.
Well, we didn't pass them on the stairs. And there's no floor above this. How could they get out?
Oh, but now my sister's gone, too. Oh, do you think they took her with them? Oh, this is terrible. How am I going to find Julia?
Mr. Gordon?
Yes? Oh, hello, Mr. Geller.
Mr. Gordon... This isn't my business, really, but I don't think your aunt ought to be living alone.
What happened?
She called me up today to throw some people out of her apartment.
And there wasn't anybody there.
That's right. And then she started looking for her sister.
Yes, she shouldn't be living alone. I'm trying to get another living arrangement for her.
I think that's a good idea. I wouldn't want her to be embarrassed, you know, by other tenants.
I know.
Just thought I'd mention it.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Mr. Geller. Aunt Belle, it's me.
Oh, come in, Charles. Did I have a day?
Belle, you shouldn't have gone to the superintendent.
Well, I had to get those people out.
I suppose you did. Aunt Belle, how about a glass of wine?
Oh, of course. I have some chilling in the refrigerator.
I'll just wash up in the bathroom, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. Do you want an ice cube in yours, Charles?
Sure, fine. Now, let's see. Yeah. There they are. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
Charles, what are you doing?
I'll be right there, just drying my hands. I didn't get a chance to wash up at the shop.
Oh, well, sit down and have your wine. I've got something important to tell you.
Yes?
I've been robbed.
What?
$1,000 gone from one of my suitcases.
No.
Now, I had a feeling something was missing, and I counted all the money in that particular case. $1,000 gone.
Are you sure? Maybe you didn't count it right.
Oh, no, I counted it twice. In fact, I'm going to count it again with you here to make sure. We'll count it together, and you'll see. $7,600.
Well, that's right.
But it should be $8,000, even with that $1,000 gone.
You mean there's more missing?
Yes, $400 more. I just don't know what to do. I'm running out of hiding places. Those awful people.
Aunt Belle, why don't you let me take care of it for you?
You?
Yes, I'll keep the suitcases. They'll be safe with me. Those people are stealing from you. You can't keep all that money around anymore.
Oh, yes, you're right, Charles. I've never done this before. But on Friday, I'm putting it all in the bank.
Oh, don't let her, Charlie. Keep things just as they are. I need another $2,000 for Wilson's Jewelers by Saturday.
I'll stall her, don't worry. Even if I have to kill the goose that lays the golden eggs.
It's not safe to have cash lying around these days, particularly when you have unscrupulous relatives. Strange how the smell of money can drive people to acts they'd never dream of committing. We'll see just how far Charles Gordon is willing to go when I return shortly with Act 3.
Great-faced in the morning, Kellogg's, Kellogg's has that wholesome taste to get you up and grinning.
This is Jerry Coffer for Kellogg's Special K. You know, for years we've been talking about the Special K breakfast, a great way to start the day if you have a weight problem. You may have seen or heard our latest commercials, which symbolize the problem of being a few pounds overweight by using this ball and chain. That's the sound effect. But so many people have come to know the Special K breakfast that can help solve weight problems, they sometimes forget that Special K is America's favorite high-protein cereal. It has 8 essential vitamins and iron, and so delicious that lots of folks, kids as well as adults, eat Special K just for the sheer good taste of it. So we don't want you to think that you have to wear a ball and chain to eat Special K. All you need is an appreciation for the finer things of life, a 1-ounce bowl of Special K, 4 ounces of skim milk, tomato juice, coffee, and maybe a little sugar. The Special K breakfast can help you lose weight all by itself, but it really is a good start.
Do you think a computer programmer needs the use of his legs? New York University doesn't. They hired a man who's almost totally paralyzed. Yet they'll be the first to admit Tom Clancy's one of the best computer programmers they ever had. Of course, Tom Clancy's just one person, but there are millions of men and women in this country very much like him. people who have accepted their disabilities and come through rehabilitation with skills, determination, and a sense of responsibility. Yes, Tom Clancy's got a very good job. But what about all the others? The Director of Vocational Rehabilitation in your state has a file of highly qualified people in every field, ready, willing, and able to work. If you're not in a position to hire them, talk to someone who is. And next time there's an opening in your company, ask him to write the Director of Vocational Rehabilitation. His office is in your state capital.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare and the Advertising Council.
Charles Gordon seems to have a good thing going for him. An almost unlimited supply of cash, thanks to his aunt and a few suspicious visitors. But now Belle threatens to spoil all that by putting her money in the bank. And Charles did say he was going to protect his investment.
Charlie, you wouldn't kill her.
I'll find some way to stop her from putting that money in the bank.
That's not what you said. You said kill.
So I said kill. I didn't mean it. Now get off my back.
Look, Charlie, I want that money as much as you do.
Just let me handle it, will you? And shut up.
What are you doing?
Protecting our investment. Hello, Mr. Geller. This is Mr. Gordon. Miss Richwood's nephew. Fine, thanks. I hate to bother you, but I wonder if you'd mind running upstairs and seeing if my aunt is okay. She doesn't answer the phone. No, and she wouldn't be in bed at this hour. Thanks, I'll wait.
Charlie, you've got something going I don't like. That was an outright lie.
A white lie. I want him on my side.
What do you mean, your side?
I've been thinking about this a long time. Just leave it to me. Yes. Oh, yes, thanks, Mr. Geller. Was her door bolted with a chain? Good. Well, thanks again. I wanted to be sure she was okay. She wasn't feeling too well when I left her tonight. Thanks again. Goodbye.
Okay, Charlie. I won't ask any more.
Stop worrying, Linda. Tomorrow I'm going to see Aunt Belle and persuade her not to put her money in the bank. It's as simple as that.
Oh, I thought you weren't coming by tonight.
I just wanted to drop in and talk.
Well, Charles, what are you up to?
What do you mean?
Why did you have the superintendent come up and check on me last night?
I just wanted to make sure you were all right.
I was all right, and you knew it. Charles, I know you took the money. The money you said they must have taken.
Belle, I didn't take your money. Why do you think I did?
They told me.
The little man who wasn't there and his girlfriend?
They saw you take it, and they told me.
Aunt Belle, I can't reason with you. I can't argue with hallucinations. You just think what you want.
Well, I'm getting all the money into the bank, where it will be safe from you.
Brother.
Charles, I'll give you a chance to give it back before I go to the police.
The police?
Well, of course. You stole from me, and I have witnesses.
Such as they are. Anyway, you'll have your money safe in the bank soon, won't you?
You bet I will.
Yes, well, I have to be getting home. You want me to drive you to the bank on Friday?
I'll get a cab, thank you.
I'm sorry you feel this way, Aunt Belle.
You should have thought of that before you took the money.
Aunt Belle, you'll be sure to lock the door behind me.
I always do.
And particularly the chain bolt. That's very important.
I know that.
I'll call you tomorrow.
All right. I'll be waiting for you to return the money.
I'll be sure and put the chain bolt on.
I will. Good night, Charles.
Aunt Belle, it's me. I forgot something.
What?
Open the door, but keep the chain on. I just want to tell you something. Don't take the chain off.
What do you want?
pleasant dreams, you old witch.
Well, did you persuade her?
She won't be putting her money in the bank. She changed her mind.
How come?
Well, I made her see there wasn't anything to worry about. I finally convinced her the people she was seeing were in her imagination.
Then you didn't...
Didn't what?
Hurt her.
Linda, what do you think I am? Would I hurt a frightened old woman, much less my own aunt?
I just can't help thinking what you said about the goose that lays the golden eggs.
Oh, come on, Linda. Belle's all right. You want me to prove it to you? Call her.
No. No, Charlie, I'll take your word.
Oh, I want to prove it to you. You think I've turned into an ogre or something? Just over a few lousy bucks?
I didn't mean that, Charlie.
Well, I'll show you. Hello, Aunt Belle. Everything all right? Well, Linda and I were just talking about you, and we wanted to be sure everything was okay. Good. Good to see you tomorrow night, Aunt Belle. She's fine.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gordon. Oh, anything wrong?
I don't know. My aunt doesn't answer the door. Could you come up and open it with your key? I'm worried.
Oh, sure, Mr. Gordon.
Now, she might be asleep, but she hasn't been feeling too well lately, and I'm a little concerned.
Well, like I said before, a lady like your aunt shouldn't be living alone.
Yes, I know. I've got to do something about her.
She's got the chain on.
Aunt Belle?
Mr. Gordon, look. She's on the floor. Right by the door.
We'll have to break it in.
Let's go.
Aunt Belle.
I think she's dead, Mr. Gordon.
She is.
Look at her head. She must have hit this table.
We never should have left her alone last night. She was feeling weak.
I'd better call the police.
Yes, please.
I'll go downstairs and call them. I'm sure sorry, Mr. Gordon.
Yes, hurry, please. Well, dear Aunt Belle, I'm sorry, too. Sorry I didn't do this sooner. It's all you deserve for the trouble you've given me for months. Now, I'm going to get what I deserve. I'll try out of the bed first. There. Empty. You clever old bird. I bet you would think of that. Back under the sink. And the other must be behind the refrigerator. Where I never think of looking for them, eh? Not now.
Mr. Gordon. The police are on the way.
Thanks.
They said not to touch anything.
No, we mustn't touch anything.
That hit on the head must have done it. Poor Olga.
Yes, I wish I'd moved her out sooner to a retirement home.
Oh, looks like she was planning to go somewhere with those suitcases ready.
Oh, those. Oh, she always had her memoirs out to look at. They're full of old photos, school programs. She's shown them to me 100 times.
That's all they've got at this age, memories.
Yes. Well, I'm going to take these along with me. They're really all that's left of Aunt Belle. And I'll give the furniture to some charity.
Well, say. My brother just got married, and he sure could use...
Police!
Oh, come in, officer.
You're Mr. Charles Gordon.
Yes.
Any idea how it happened?
She must have fallen. She was alone. She was just like this when we found her.
Well, it happens a lot with older people. Oh, bad bruise on the head.
We think she hit that table when she fell.
Huh? That looks like the answer. I'll call in. They'll send an ambulance. There'll have to be an autopsy. Oh, and I'll need a statement from both of you.
The door was chained from the inside. It had to be an accident.
I didn't say it wasn't. I only said I'd have to get a statement.
She's at peace now.
Charlie, I feel nervous about all that money back at the house.
Why? No one knows it's there. No one knew she had anything. And little by little, I'm going to bank it, invest it, slowly, so nobody gets suspicious.
I'm still nervous about $90,000 in the fireplace chimney.
Oh, come on, Linda, I'll take you home. I'm going to Belle's apartment and pack up her personal things.
Okay, but don't be all afternoon. I don't like being alone with all that money.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gordon.
I've come to start clearing my aunt's things, Mr. Geller. Would you let me in, please?
Oh, sure, Mr. Gordon. I'm sure sorry about your aunt. When's the funeral?
We had it this morning. There wasn't anyone but my wife and me.
Too bad old people have to live alone. If you need any help, I'll be glad to
do anything. Thank you. I'm just going to pack her personal things.
Well, all right. Call if you need anything.
Thank you. Now, let's see. I'll start with the bedroom. No use saving any of this stuff. Get it to the cartons and out to the dump. Linda might want these blankets, though. Poor Aunt Belle. Two torn slips in an empty drawer. I'll have to... What was that? Someone there? Is that you, Mr. Geller? No, that must have been the people upstairs. Completely empty. I never realized Aunt Belle was... There is someone out there. There's no one here. I'm letting my imagination get me. It is kind of spooky in here, all alone. Oh, poor old thing, what she must have gone through, alone all the time. No wonder she started seeing things. I'll get all the stuff from the bedroom and... That was something. Who's there? Answer me, who's there? I heard you. I know there's someone here. I heard you. Now, where are you? Why don't you answer me, damn it? Hello?
Oh, Charles, thank God you answered.
Linda.
Charles, come home quickly right now.
Linda, what's the matter?
It's this man in the living room.
What man?
I don't know who he is. He just sits there on the couch, smiling at me. He won't leave and he won't answer me. He won't say a word.
Good Lord.
Oh, Charles. I'm scared. Come home now, please. Charles.
Funny how word gets around when there's money hidden somewhere. It looks as though Charles is in for some strange company of his own. But then, that sort of thing doesn't happen. Linda must be imagining things. I'll be back shortly.
Hello. Ms. Goldilocks here. And welcome to my professional taste-testing laboratory. Oh, Papa Bear, Could you bring that case of sugar-free Diet 7-Up over here?
Another case? Ms. Goldilocks, you're drinking this sugar-free Diet 7-Up like there's no tomorrow. You can't still be taste-testing it.
Oh, no, Papa Bear. Sugar-free Diet 7-Up has already earned my seal of approval. It's fresh, light, natural. Delicious. I drink it because I love its taste. Now hurry up.
Okay, here.
Mm-hmm. This sugar-free Diet 7-Up really tastes delicious. Ladies, if you're tired of switching from one diet drink to another, take some advice from Ms. Goldilocks. Try sugar-free diet 7-Up, and you'll say, yes, this one's just right.
I'll bear witness to that, Goldie.
The imagination is a curious thing. It can haunt us, help us, even hurt those who cross the line between imagination and reality. Imagination, the stuff of which dreams and radio mystery theater plays are made. We hope we've teased yours with tonight's story and hope you'll be back for more. Our cast included Bryna Rayburn, Laurie March, George Petrie, and Gilbert Mack. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Now, a preview of our next tale.
What you doing out at this hour? It's hardly daylight.
I have to go see somebody.
Going to see your folks?
My mother.
Oh, your mother. And I guess you know where she's at.
Somewhere along this road.
No number? No name? Like on a mailbox?
I'll know when we get there.
You've been there before, I guess.
It's a great big white house with a big green lawn and flowers.
I think I know the place you mean.
And lots of servants.
Yeah.
There it is. There it is. See? Right there. Stop. I want to get out. Stop the truck.
I'll stop. And don't jump. Hold on. I'm stopping. Now, wait a second, kid.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Hey, you had an order to go in there. Hey, you know what you're doing?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg Special K cereal and new sugar-free diet 7-Up. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
There's a difference between covering statewide and statewide coverage. The difference is K-O-I-N. Reporter Phil Paxson puts it this way.
We don't limit our statewide coverage of politics to the borders of Oregon. We reach as far across the country as possible. If we have to reach to Washington, D.C., we do it. We have regular correspondents that keep track of, say, Governor McCall, if he's going to go to Washington to testify in front of a committee. We have a correspondent that will take care of him in Washington, D.C. If Governor McCall, as he did, went touring the South, we have correspondents in the cities where he went. We don't let the state line become a barrier to our coverage.
We don't let anything become a barrier to our coverage. Get all the news on KOIN, News Radio 97.
This is KOIN in Portland. It's 11 o'clock. CBS News is next.
CBS News. President Nixon and Soviet Communist Party leader Brezhnev initial an arms limitation pact today and end their third summit talks. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The official communique will be issued on Wednesday, but Tuesday night during a toast, Secretary Brezhnev revealed the substance of the agreement. A 1972 anti-ballistic missile treaty has been revised so that the number of ABM sites the United States and the Soviet Union may build is down from 2 to 1. The two leaders also agreed on a partial underground nuclear test ban, which will outlaw certain kinds of tests, generally not those currently underway. Soviet authorities censored the press Tuesday night in Moscow by pulling the plug on some transmissions by American networks. CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb has the story.
The State Committee on Radio and Television, which controls all TV facilities at the Ostankino Studios, warned all three American networks not to transmit anti-Soviet stories. Stories, they said, about Soviet dissidents. Those stories have nothing to do with the summit, the State Committee said, adding the TV technicians get offended by such stories and might walk off their jobs. The effect of that would be to stop all TV coverage from Moscow. Network representatives decided to pursue and cover the Moscow story as they liked. During satellite time, when TV pieces were being fed to New York for the evening TV news broadcasts, ABC News tried to feed a story about Andrei Sakharov, the noted Soviet dissident. Within a matter of seconds, the plug was pulled. Then NBC News tried to feed a similar story. The plug was again pulled. Then CBS News tried to feed a story about dissidents in Moscow. The plug was pulled. Then Harry Reisner of ABC News tried to tell the story. The plug was pulled. Then this reporter tried to tell the story, and again the plug was pulled. At this point, the directors of Moscow TV announced that all TV coverage was over for the night. Marvin Cal, CBS News, Moscow.
CBS News President Richard Salant noted, "There it is for everyone to see what happens when a government controls the news." More in a minute.
It's a real hot day. I'm soaking up the sun, and suddenly I say antifreeze right out loud. My wife says, "Huh?" And I say, "Haven't you heard that song?
You can never buy Prestone too early. Do it now, do it now, don't you wait. You can never buy Prestone too early. You can only buy it too late."
It's a fact. A 50-50 mix of Prestone 2 winter summer formula and water, about 2 gallons for most cars, fights boilover because it helps your cooling system handle heat better than water. Fresh boilover protection and fresh corrosion protection, too, because only Prestone 2 has a patented silicone silicate inhibitor system. Nothing beats it for corrosion protection. Summer, winter, spring, or fall, you can never buy Prestone too early. You can only buy it too late.
You can't trust Prestone.
Who can you trust?
The Coast Guard has rescued a family whose pleasure boat sank off the Florida coast on Monday, but two of the children died before they reached the hospital. The Edward Horn family of Houston had started out on a trip to the Bahamas on Monday, but they hit a storm that night and their boat sank. For 12 hours, they held on to a life preserver and tried to fend off sharks, which began circling them. 10-year-old Billy died from shark bites. 3-year-old Tex died, but doctors have not disclosed the cause of his death. The father, Edward, says they all believed that a search plane would find them, and one finally did.
"We didn't see a plane in the early morning, in the early light this morning for about 3 hours. We certainly started to panic a little bit. But when we could see a boat off in the distance and we would scream for help, and then finally we saw a plane. And it was like manna from heaven."
Horn, his wife, and 3 surviving children are resting in the hospital at Tyndale Air Force Base in Panama City, Florida. Back after this.
"Hearts wants to round up every roundworm in town and run them out before they run your dog down."
Roundworms can strike your dog or cat. Get rid of them safely with the Hearts once-a-month wormer. Add it to your pet's dinner every 30 days, and then it'll round up those roundworms and keep them away for good.
Get Hearts once-a-month wormer at your favorite store and help your dog to be roundworm-free evermore.
The Hearts once-a-month wormer for dogs and cats.
VA helps veterans with all kinds of problems.
"I've seen some dudes, man, that we have reached that we thought would be impossible. And now where are they? In jobs, in school. And we have found out in many instances a telephone call to some organization will help that person. And this is what I mean when I say that a person can feel that you care. And when they know that you care for them as an individual, you can reach them.
Put yourself together with VA. We're here to help you."
After almost a week of battling a 27,000-acre fire in New Mexico's Gila National Forest, firefighters have succeeded in bringing the fire under control. A spokesman for the U.S. Forest Service says 2 other fires in New Mexico and Arizona are close to being controlled. Anne Brosman, CBS News.
Send your camel to bed. Shadows painting on the